This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى المجتبى. My brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, in this lecture we will be covering 10 points in how to become a solid student of knowledge. 10 points in how to become a solid student of knowledge. And through this, inshallah ta'ala, we will also be learning how to document knowledge. How to document knowledge. Because like I told the brothers earlier, that when I was in Damaj, there was a very big fitna. There was a very big fitna. And that fitna was the fitna of lessons. There used to be around maybe 20 to 25 lessons opening up every single week. 20 to 25 lessons opening up every single week. So the students there, some may have been like, you know, the little kid who's been deprived of candy for over a month. Someone who's been trying to seek knowledge, then all of a sudden now he's been gifted to go and study in a place like Damaj, which was the reality of the matter is Qal'atu Sunnah. Somewhere where you could come out and you've really learned the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So all these lessons that were opening up, you'd find that normally when a little kid goes to the candy shop, what happens? He goes excited, right? He goes all crazy and everything, and he wants to take everything there. This exactly was the situation of some students. He'd jump into one class, go to another class, then he would leave one class and then go into another one, and then so on and so forth. Maybe a couple of years later, he's just still in the same position. He's still in the same position. Maybe he's just gained a bit of knowledge from here and there. Are you with me, guys and sisters? So it's important that we know how to attain this knowledge in the best possible way. Okay? Because there is many brothers, wallahi, and I've seen it. They're very enthusiastic. They really want to do well. They've got the energy. They've got the commitment. But because they exert all this effort into the wrong place, they end up spending so much time in something with little fa'idah. With little fa'idah. So this is why, this is just a humble collection of what the scholars, they advise with regards to how to go about seeking knowledge. But before I mention the 10 points in how to document the knowledge, I would like to mention three fundamental important points that every single student of knowledge, if you want to become serious, that you need to take and apply. So these three fundamental important points are as follows. The first one is, لا بد من شيء من العلم تحفظه. You must memorize knowledge. There has to be something of knowledge that you memorize. And the more you memorize, the more benefit that you are bound to take. And I'll explain later, inshallah ta'ala. The second point is, لا بد أن تدرس متونا على المشايخ وطلاب العلم. You must study texts. You must study texts like the text that we're studying now with the scholars. And if you can't find the scholars, with the students of knowledge. The third point is, لا بد أن يكون لك حظ من قراءة الكتب. There must be a fair share of reading that you do on a regular basis. So if you want to be a serious student of knowledge, you must embark on these three things that I mentioned collectively. Why do we always say hifd, hifd, hifd? You have to understand, guys, hifd is a fundamental part of attaining knowledge. If you look at Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what made him from the most knowledgeable of the companions? The answer would be two things. And they go hand in hand with one another. The first one is al-hifd. He used to memorize, and he was somebody who was consistent. He was somebody who was consistent. Al-mulazama lil-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was somebody who was consistent in accompanying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking knowledge from him. And you can't be somebody who memorizes a lot If he doesn't have consistency, are you with me, guys? You memorize a bit today and then you don't memorize for another 2 weeks. Then you may be memorizing something a couple of days after that, and then maybe 4 days after that. You might be memorizing, but you're just only getting a little bit. And before you know it, a lot of time has gone past and you've only just attained a little bit. Because also with memorization, you need to be revising. Otherwise, it's just going to go down the drain. Memorization without revision will end up just being a waste of time. So like I said, these are two things that go hand in hand with one another. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you can find this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he chaptered it, Babu Hifz al-Ilm, the chapter of memorizing knowledge. He said, Inna an-nasa yaqulun. The people, they say, Akthara Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah just constantly goes on about the hadith, the hadith, the hadith. He then said, وَلَوْلَ آيَتَانِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا حَدَّثْتُ حَدِيثًا. If it wasn't for two verses in the Quran, I would have never narrated any hadith to you guys. Then he recited the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, and there's also another verse with a similar meaning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who conceal knowledge from that which we have sent down, from the bayyinat, the clear verses, and also the guidance, they are individuals who have been cursed. So if he said, if it wasn't for this ayah and the other verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, he wouldn't have never mentioned a hadith to the people. And then he said, Inna ikhwanana min al-muhajirin kana yashghaluhum as-safaq bil aswaq. Our brothers from the muhajirin, they were busy in the markets doing business. They were busy with the transactions. Wa inna ikhwanana min al-ansari kana yashghaluhum al-amalu fil amwalihim. As for our brothers from the Ansar, they were busy with their wealth. They were busy working on their wealth. وَإِنَّ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ كَانَ يَحْذُرُ مَا لَا يَحْذُرُونَ وَيَحْفَظُ مَا لَا يَحْفَظُونَ. He used to attend that which most people wouldn't attend. Consistency. And he would memorize that which most people weren't memorizing. Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه didn't get 5,000 plus a hadith while he was relaxing. No, he was there busy memorizing and sacrificing that which a lot of the companions may have been busy with, that helped them in the dunya. If you look also at another narration, Abu Zayd, yani Amr ibn Akhtab, he said, Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he one time led the prayer al-fajr, prayer of fajr, wa sa'id al-mimbara. And then he ascended on the minbar. فَخَطَبَنَا حَتَّى حَضَرَتِ الظُّهُرِ. He gave us a khutbah all the way to the time of dhuhr. فَنَزَلَ فَصَلَّى. Then he got off the minbar and then he led the prayer of dhuhr. ثُمَّ صَعِدَ الْمِنْبَرِ. And then he got on the minbar again. And then فَخَطَبَنَا حَتَّى حَضَرَتِ الْعَصْرُ. He gave us a khutbah all the way to العصر. ثُمَّ نَزَلَ فَصَلَّى. Then he got off the minbar, he prayed, led the prayer, and then he got on the minbar again. ثُمَّ صَعِدَ الْمِنْبَرَ فَخَطَبَنَا حَتَّى غَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسِ. And then he gave us a khutbah until sunset, time of Maghrib. فَأَخْبَرَنَا بِمَا كَانَ وَبِمَا هُوَ كَائِنَ. And he told us about that which was and that which is going to be. And then Amr ibn Akhtab, he said, فَأَعْلَمُنَا أَحْفَظُنَا. The most knowledgeable amongst us that day was those who memorized the most. Those who memorized the most, they were the most knowledgeable amongst us. Also, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he testified to something. And you tend to find it normally very, very difficult if there is a contemporary that lives amongst you to actually give a testification to the hard work that he has come with. Because like I mentioned in my other lessons, that hasad, having envy, is something that is very prevalent, especially amongst students of knowledge. Are you with me, guys? And even scholars. Okay? So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he one time said to Abu Huraira, Ya Abu Huraira, أنت كنت ألزمنا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأحفظنا لحديثه. And this hadith can be found in a Tirmidhi. He said that you were from those who stuck and was most consistent with learning from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he was also from those who memorized the most from the hadith. Also Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, أخي لن تنال العلم إلا بستة سأنبيك عن تفصيلها ببياني ذكاء وحرص واجتهاد وبلغة وصحبة أستاذ وطول زماني. He said, أخي, you are not going to attain knowledge except with six things. He said, I'm going to elaborate this for you. ذكاء, having intelligence. وحرص, having eagerness. واجتهاد, striving hard. Okay, because you find some people who have eagerness, but then he's like a musawwif, which means I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. While at the same time he has desire, right? He has much desire to do so, but he doesn't work. He delays it. واجتهاد, also striving hard. وبلغتن. وبلغتن means is to have wealth. Will really, really help as well. Okay? Will really, really help. Of course, not everybody, we can't say this unrestrictedly, there was from the poor who ended up attaining so much knowledge, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was from them. But if a person has wealth and is able to buy books, because the knowledge is taken from where? From the books, right? And if somebody has been afflicted with poverty, it could deprive him from getting that knowledge from the books. وَصُحْبَةُ أُسْتَاذٍ, also accompanying a ustadh. وَطُولُ زَمَانِ, and being somebody who spends a long part of his life studying knowledge. Because ilm isn't just 1 year. Ilm isn't just 2 years. It's a very long stretch of time. It's a trek, as they say, right? And also accompanying a ustadh, being very close to him, having these private sittings with him. He doesn't necessarily have to be a scholar that has reached maybe the level of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, because it's very, very hard to accompany them. This is one of the things that you might suffer from when you go to Medina. Even to ask them questions, as soon as the lesson finishes, everybody is rushing towards them. And you just might about get a question in. But if you have a close ustad, okay, and he's very strong in that which he teaches. Like I've got a brother in Al-Medina called Muhammad Abdul Karim Hassan Hosh. Some of you might know that very famous sheikh in Somali called Abdul Karim Hassan Hosh. And that sheikh, he's very, very knowledgeable. I found this sheikh, who is very, very strong, mashallah, he got accepted now in his PhD. Like, I discuss things with him. Things that I might not necessarily be able to discuss with the sheikh that's going to sit on the chair. So we have discussions. We go back and forth. If something is maybe difficult for me, I take it to him. Okay? وَطُولُ الزَّمَانِ, and spending, as I mentioned, a long time in seeking knowledge. عطاء, the great tabi, was also a student of Ibn Abbas, he said, كُنَّا نَأْتِي جَابِر ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. We used to come to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. فَإِذَا خَرَجْنَا مِنْ عِنْدِهِ تَذَاكَرْنَا. And whenever we left him, we would start revising the knowledge. فَكَانَ أَبُو الزُّبَيْرِ أَحْفَظَنَا لِحَدِيثِهِ. Abu Zubair was the one who knew most of the hadith that Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated. And Ad-Darimi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was the one that narrated it, he chaptered this hadith, Babu Mudhakirat al-Ilm, the chapter of revising knowledge. But we're going to come on to it later, inshaAllah ta'ala, the benefit of doing revision with a roommate, a classmate, or whoever might be close to you, and what that would do to your knowledge. Why ilm? why the ilm needs to be memorized. There's a number of things. And what the scholars, they mention about it. I always tell the brothers, if you were to see somebody now apostate, or he has doubts with regards to grave worshipping, مثلاً. Okay? He has doubts with regards to grave worshipping. And then he comes up to you and he asks you for a dalil. The guy is about to apostate, he has these kufri beliefs. He might leave you and he's going to stay upon his shirk for the rest of his life. This is a catch opportunity. Are you going to say to him, Akhi, let me go home, let me get the dalil, and then come back to you? Do you see why it is important for you now to have this dalil, this textual evidence is there ready and prepared for you to give it to him on a plate? Just yesterday, Imran was saying to me, because I previously told him this same advice, that he just finished a Jum'ah, and a man came up to him. And before the Jum'ah, I think he said to me, he was either memorizing Usul al-Thalatha or Qawa'id al-Arba'ah. And somebody actually came up to him and asked him why he shouldn't grave worship, basically. And he said, had I not known that hadith or the ayah, afwan, that verse in the Quran, I may not have been able to advise this individual accordingly. And he would have just left me with maybe some statements that I gave him. The poet, he says, إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ حَافِظًا وَاعِيًا فَجَمْعُكَ لِلْكُتُبِ لَا يَنْفَعُ. If you're not somebody who has hifz and comprehension, you just collecting books is not going to benefit you. فَجَمْعُكَ لِلْكُتُبِ لَا يَنْفَعُ أَتَحْذُرُ بِالْجَهْلِ فِي مَجْلِسٍ وَعِلْمُكَ فِي الْبَيْتِ مُسْتَوْدَعُ. أَتَحْذُرُ بِالْجَهْلِ فِي مَجْلِسٍ. Are you going to come to a sitting and you bring your ignorance with you? And your ilm is stuck in the warehouse? Are you with me, guys? Also, Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said something very powerful. He said, كُلُّ عِلْمٍ لَا يَدْخُلُ مَعَ صَاحِبِهِ الْحَمَّامِ فَلَا تَعُدْهُ عِلْمًا. Okay? Every knowledge that doesn't enter with you into the toilet, don't consider it to be knowledge. Are you allowed to take your books, your Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim into the toilet? Huh, guys? What about your memorization? Before you go into the toilet, do you take your brain now and leave it outside? Huh? It enters with you, right? This is real ilm. This is real ilm. Also, the poet, he said, فَلَيْسَ عِلْمًا مَا حَوَى الْقِمَطْرُ مَا الْعِلْمُ إِلَّا مَا حَوَى الصَّدْرُ. Ilm is not that which is carried in bags or boxes, but rather the real ilm is that which is carried in your chest, that which is going to be with you at all times. Also, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, عِلْمِي مَعِي حَيْثُ مَا يَمَمْتُ يَتْبَعُنِي قَلْبِي وِعَاءٌ لَهُ لَا جَوْفَ صُنْدُوقِي. My ilm is with me wherever I go. It follows me. And my heart is a utensil for it, not the inside of a box. And then he said, إِن كُنْتُ فِي الْبَيْتِ كَانَ الْعِلْمُ فِيهِ مَعِي. If I'm at home, the knowledge is with me. أَوْ كُنْتُ فِي السُّوقِ كَانَ الْعِلْمُ فِي السُّوقِ مَعِي. And if I'm at the markets, I find also that the knowledge is with me, wherever it might be. This is vital, my brothers. And you will see the difference between a person who's memorized and the guy who just constantly reads. He's just always going to be attached to maybe an iPad or maybe a book. Also, I heard Sheikh Saleh bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Usaymi say, and he heard Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen say, okay, Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned something very, very powerful. He said, قَرَأْنَا كَثِيرًا وَحَفِظْنَا قَلِيلًا. We read a lot and we only memorized a little bit. فَانْتَفَعْنَا بِمَا حَفِظْنَا أَكْثَرْ مِنْ تِفَاعِنَا بِمَا قَرَأْنَا. Are you with me, my brothers and sisters? He said, we read a lot and we memorized a little. We benefited from that which we memorized more than that which we read. And Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, subhanAllah, guys, was an individual who memorized Bulugh al-Maram. You know what Bulugh al-Maram is? A book that consists of 1,500 hadith, depending on the tab'ah. Okay? depending on the tab'a, and some tab'at are 1,376 from what I remember. But you find that because of the tarqim, the way they number the ahadith, it comes out a bit more. So the point is, guys, he memorized Bulugh al-Maram, he memorized Zad al-Mustaqni'. It's a fat book like this in fiqh, in the Hanbali madhab. He also memorized Alif ibn Malik, 1,000 lines of poetry in the Arabic language, and other books that he memorized from the Mutun books. Are you with me, guys? And still he goes, we only memorize a little bit. And from that which he memorized, he says that he benefited more from that than all the mutala'a, the books that he used to read. I remember also Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, it's actually a clip online, just to show you how much he respected Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi had a question. He was sitting in the qa'a, in the main hall in Jami'at al-Islamiyya, the Islamic University of Medina. So just as the muhadhara was about to finish, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi put his hand up. Very well-known sheikh in Medina. So the sheikh started saying, Muhammad al-Hakami wants to ask a question. Muhammad al-Hakami wants to ask a question. You know who Hafid al-Hakami was? Hafid al-Hakami was a memorizer. Was somebody who memorized the Quran in the month of Ramadan. He didn't die much long ago as well. He didn't die much long ago as well. So they say he memorized the Quran and then he would lead it in Taraweeh, one juz every day, and then he would lead it. And there's so many lines of poetry in different fields that he has. So he was known like the Hafiz from the contemporaries of this time. Are you with me, guys? So the Sheikh, because Muhammad bin Hadi was somebody who used to memorize quite a bit, so he ended up calling him Muhammad al-Hakami, wants to ask a question. Also, something very funny that happened in the time of Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, one time he was robbed by bandits. Summarization to try and get as much in this small period that we have. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, the boxes that he had was robbed by some highway bandits. And Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala is running behind them. He's saying to them, all that which is inside these boxes that you've nicked is my books that I traveled for. And that which I have documented, please give it back. So the thief is running away and he's hearing Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala saying this. And he stops. So there was a bunch of thieves. The biggest of them started laughing at him. He said to him, كيف تزعم أنك عرفت علمها وعندما أخذناها منك أصبحت لا تعلم شيئا. How is it that you can claim that you have knowledge? Okay? But when we in fact took these boxes of yours, أصبحت لا تعلم شيئا. All of a sudden you became somebody who did not know anything. وبقيت بلا علم, and you remained there without any knowledge. The thief is laughing at him. And then he felt sorry for him and he gave him the boxes. He goes, go take it. Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, هذا مستنطق أنطقه الله. This is a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him speak. ليرشدني به في أمري. To give me guidance in my affair. فلما وافيت طوسا أقبلت على الاشتغال 3 سنين حتى حفظت جميع ما علقته وسرت بحيث لو قطع علي الطريق لما تجرد من علمي. So he said he went back and for a whole 3 years he started memorizing everything that he documented. So if in the future highway bandits ended up robbing his stuff again, he wouldn't necessarily mind. Take it. My ilm is with me in my chest. A thief was the reason as to why Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, and he had knowledge. Of course, in his kitab, Ihya Ulum al-Din, there is quite a number of issues in there. And some scholars, they spoke quite negatively about the kitab, but without a shadow of a doubt. His kitab al-Mustasfa, that Ibn Qudama rahimahullah ta'ala really benefited from, that we study today in Jama'at al-Islamiyya, and it's sometimes very, very tough to understand, was taken from the Mustasfa of Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. He was somebody who was very, very knowledgeable. He was guided because of a thief in doing that which is best for him. Also, you find if it's just for the mere fact that the Messenger told you to memorize is sufficient for you to be somebody who gives his time to memorizing. You find even in the Sharia, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Man hafidha 10 ayat min awwal surah al-Kahf, usima min fitnat ad-Dajjal." Whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Surah al-Kahf, he will be protected from the fitna of the Dajjal. Also, you find in Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, وَكَانَ جِبْرِيلُ يُرَاجِ وَحِفْظَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Jibreel used to revise with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and check his memorization. لِلْقُرْآنِ كُلَّ سَنَّةٍ مَرَّةٍ. Every year, he would check his memorization once. وَقَبْلَ وَفَاتِهِ رَاجَعَ مَاهُ الْحِفْظَ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And before he died, he checked his memorization twice. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَ امْرِئٍ سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَحَفِظَهَا. May Allah glow in the face of an individual who heard my speech. Who heard my speech. He comprehended it and he memorized it. Okay, guys? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for that person who memorized the hadith. فَرُبَّ حَامِنَ فِقْهٍ إِلَى مَنْ وَأَفْقَهَ مِنْهِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. Also, when the wafd of Ibn Abd al-Qais, they came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to seek knowledge. Okay, there were a group of people who came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were called wafd Ibn Abd al-Qais. That's what it is referred to normally when the discussion breaks out, wafd Ibn Abd al-Qais. Maybe the best way to put it in the English language is the group maybe who traveled to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the tribe of Ibn Abd al-Qais. طيب, على كل, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them a number of instructions. And then he said to them, احفظوهن, memorize it. وأخبروا بهن من وراءكم. And inform the people that you have left behind in your cities, in the places that you came from. This is why you find after that, it reached a level of multitude, how the scholars from the Salaf and those who came after them, they always used to advise one another to memorize. And this is very, very important, guys. So what do you memorize first? What do you memorize first? And I'm going to go on a rant here. Sheikh Saleh bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Usaymi, our teacher in the Haram, he has some lines of poetry. He says, وقدم القرآن ثبت حفظه من قبلها وأتقنن لفظه ولتقصدن في أول المسير لحفظ متن جامع قصير. The first thing that you should start with is by memorizing the Quran. If you want to be a serious student of knowledge, my brothers and sisters, you have to have a fair share of your time that you give to memorizing the Quran, because it's أصل العلوم. He said, وقدم القرآن ثبت, and also make it firm. طيب وقدم القرآن ثبت حفظه من قبلها وأتقننا لفظه, and then also master it. Don't just memorize. Remember, guys, your memorization only starts after you finished. The last page you've read to your teacher, that's when it starts. I remember the Malaysian teacher that I had, and also some of the Indonesians, they used to do this in Damaj. You finish the Quran, you do one juz every single day, and it has to be like water, no mistakes. You make a mistake, you get sent back. Then the next juz, then the next juz, then the next juz, 30 juz. Are you with me, guys? 30 juz, and then you do 2 juz every day, and then 5 juz every day, and then 10 juz every day. You do the Quran in 3 sittings, and then 20 juz, and then you read the whole Quran in 1 sitting. It was done, and it's possible for somebody to do. Are you with me, guys? And that's how you master it, and also the mutshabihat, the similar ayat in the Quran. وَإِنَّ هَذِي أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذِي أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Can you see the similarities? There's an extra harf and the word at the end changes. Okay? So a person, he masters his mutshabihat. And then he says, وَالْتَقْصِدَنَّ فِي أَوَّلِ الْمَسِيرِ لِحِفْظِ مَتْنِ جَامِعًا قَصِيرِ. And at the beginning of seeking knowledge, try to memorize a comprehensive text in every field. That's obviously after you finish the Quran. Like for example, you have books like Usul al-Thalatha, Qawa'id al-Arba, very, very small books. In Tawheed, you get one. In Mustalah Hadith, you get one. Usul al-Fiqh, you do Waraqat Mathalan. In the science of Hadith, you do Bayquni, which is 34 lines. It'll give you a base, a foundation. And then I will guarantee you guys that Wallahi al-Azim, that fun, that field will become easy for you. Why the Quran, guys? Al-Maymuni rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Sa'altu Aba Abdillahi, ayyuhuma ahabbu ilayk? Abda'u ibni bil Quran aw bil hadithi? He asked Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, which is more beloved to you that I start with? Do I teach my son the Quran or the hadith? He says, Qala la bil Qurani. Teach him the Quran first. قلت وعلمه كله. Do I teach him all of it? He said, قال إلا أن يحصل عليك. Except if it becomes difficult. فتعلمه من. You teach him some of it. Okay. Ibn Muflih رحمه الله تعالى commented on this in his كتاب الأداب الشرعية. He said, وعلى هذا أتباع الإمام أحمد إلى زماننا هذا. Upon this, you find that the followers of Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى, they treaded this path. They treaded this path until this very day. And also in the tarjama of Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam al-Dhahabi mentions in his kitab Sirah Alam al-Nubala. He says that his father, لم يدعني أبي أن أشتغل بالحديث حتى قرأت القرآن على الفضل بن الشهدان الرازي. My father didn't allow me to busy myself with hadith until I read the whole Quran on Fadl ibn Shahdan al-Razi. ثم كتبت الحديث. That's when I started writing down the Quran, the hadith. Also, Muhammad ibn al-Fadl, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, سمعت جدي يقول, I had my grandfather say, استأذنت أبي في الخروج إلى قتيبة. I saw permission from my father in order to go and seek knowledge with قتيبة. He said, اقرأ القرآن أولا حتى آذن لك. Read the Quran first until I give you permission. So he said, I memorized the Quran, فقال لي أمكث حتى تصلي بالختمة. So when he was done memorizing the Quran, he told him, you can't leave until you read Taraweeh. Some of the scholars, they say, you're not a true hafid of the Quran until you are able to lead Taraweeh. That shows your strength in the Quran and that you're a real hafid. He said, فَلَمَّا عَيَّدْنَا أَذِنَ لِي. When Eid finished, he allowed me to go. Also, something very, very funny is, Waleed al-Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, كُنَّا إِذَا جَالَثْنَا الْأَوْزَاعِيَّ فَرَأَ فِينَا حَدَثًا. Every time we sat with Awza'i, a great tabi'i, and he saw that there was a young person with us. Okay? He said, يَا غُلَام قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ. Oh, son, have you memorized the Quran? فَإِنْ قَالَ نَعَمْ. If he said to him, yes, he would tell him to read, يُوصِيكُمَ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. Who can tell me about this ayah? It's one of the most difficult ayat in the Quran. Second page on Surah An-Nisa, which talks about the inheritance. He'd put him on the spot and tell him to read it. Hey, read. Okay? If he said, لَا, I didn't memorize the Quran, he would say to him, go learn the Quran and then start seeking knowledge. What time is it? Huh? 6:40. Allah musta'an. We need to really, really rush through this because it's going to go off, right? 20 minutes. Sa'ad on his way? Huh? Tayyib. Imam Abu Umar ibn Abd al-Barr, he says something very, very powerful. طلب العلم, 32 minutes, okay. طلب العلم درجات ومناقل ورطب لا ينبغي تعديها. Seeking knowledge, guys, is of different levels, okay? And one cannot jump to the other when it comes to seeking knowledge. You shouldn't do that. ومن تعداها جملة فقد تعدى سبيل السلف. Whoever tried to be smart and tries to jump over from one level to another, you would find that this person now is jumping over what the path of the Salaf was when it came to seeking knowledge. And whoever does that intentionally, he will end up just misguiding himself. And whoever does that out of ijtihad, is trying to do it with good intention, and is trying to strive hard, he will just end up what? Erring. And then he said, فَأَوَّلُ الْعِلْمِ. The first ilm that you should memorize is حِفْدُ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Okay, until where he says, ولا أقول, he says, I don't say إن حفظ إن حفظه كله فرض. I don't say that it's فرض. I don't say it's فرض. ولكن أقول, I say إن ذلك واجب لازم على من أحب أن يكون عالما ليس من باب الفرض. Of course, when we say that something is فرض, مثلا in the wudu, and a person doesn't come with it, his ibadah will be batil, right? He's not saying that if you don't memorize the Quran and you're talab al-ilm, you seek knowledge is batil. Abadan, he's not saying that. But he's saying for somebody who wants to become an alim, then you find that it is wajib fi haqqihi. It's mandatory upon him if he wants to become a serious individual. I remember Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid, he was asked, oh Sheikh, there's some people who are telling others, you don't need to memorize the Quran because it's not wajib. You don't need to memorize the Quran because it's not wajib. He said, A'udhu billah. That was his response. He said, A'udhu billahi. And then he just went on a rant. I remember also, subhanAllah, one of my sheikhs when I was in Yemen, his name is Muhammad ibn Hizam. He was somebody who memorized Bukhari, Muslim, Riyadh al-Salihin, Bulugh al-Maram. He also memorized the Abiyat of Imriti. He also memorized Alfiyat al-Iraqi and Alfiyat ibn Malik. He used to always advise us, brothers, memorize. Attending lessons is something that everybody can do. The grandma, the grandpa, the uncle, the old person, the young person, everybody can sit and enjoy the lesson, right? But hifz is difficult. It's hard. It requires a lot of energy. It requires a lot of time. It will stress you out. You're going to have headaches. But that's the real ilm. That is the real ilm. Sheikh Salih bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Usaymi, he said something very powerful. And you can find this in his Kitab Ta'zim al-Ilm as well. He said, La budda min hifzin. You must memorize. طيب, وَمَنْ ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ يَنَالُ الْعِلْمَ بِلَا حِفْظٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَطْلُبْ مُحَالًا. Whoever thinks that he's going to attain knowledge without memorizing, he's chasing the impossible. He is chasing the impossible. Also, this is a very, very important statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and then I'm going to jump into something else. He says, وَأَمَّا طَلَبُ حِفْظِ الْقُرْآنِ فَهُوَ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّا تُسَمِّيهِ النَّاسُ عِلْمًا وَإِمَّا بَاطِنُ أَوْ قَلِيلُ النَّفْعِ. Memorizing the Quran takes precedence عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّا تُسَمِّيهِ النَّاسُ عِلْمًا, takes precedence over a lot of things that people today they call knowledge. It's either batil or you find that it is not so beneficial. It only carries a small benefit. وهو أيضا مقدم على هو أيضا مقدم في التعلم في حق من يريد أن يتعلم علم الدين من الأصول والفروع. And it also is a priority, takes precedence for anybody who wants to learn the knowledge of the deen with regards to its fundamentals and also the sub-branches of it. And then he goes on to say, فَإِنَّهُ أَصْلُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ فَإِنَّهُ أَصْلُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. It is the asl when you look at all knowledges. It's the origin of it. بِخِلَافِ مَا يَفْعَلُ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ. And pay attention to this, guys. This is vital information. As opposed to what a lot of the people of innovation they do. مِنَ الْعَاجِمْ, from the foreigners and other than them. حَيْثُ يَشْتَغِلُ أَحَدُهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ فُضُولِ الْعِلْمِ. You find him that he busies himself with that which is not necessarily a priority for him when seeking knowledge or from the extras of knowledge. Maybe that's a better way to translate it. From the extras of knowledge, you find some pieces of knowledge that is part of your day-to-day life, right? And some things that you're not necessarily going to benefit you in your day-to-day ibadat. For example, now a guy who doesn't learn any fiqh, but then he goes and jumps to qira'at, doesn't know how to wash himself properly, doesn't know how to pray, doesn't know how to make wudu, then he goes and jumps to qira'at. Do you see what I'm saying, guys? And of course, qira'at is something that is important. It's nice to have, but it's not from the awlawiyat, from the things that are foremost. So you find him, he busies himself with the extras of knowledge. Min al-kalami, أو الجدال والخلاف, like علم الكلام, and also maybe the issues that carry a lot of dispute. And you find him is busy with argumentations. أو الفروع النادرة. Point is, guys, how much do we find? Or how common is this? That when you ask an individual about certain aspects of the religion, whether it might be from the sub-branches or other than it, he knows that mas'ala inside out. He knows that mas'ala inside out. As to why maybe music is haram. As to why maybe music is haram. Of course, it's important that you know why music is haram. But he knows this inside out. He's given so much priority to it. But when it comes to maybe knowing the furud of al-wudu, he doesn't know. You got reverts who may start practicing. He tells you, he just started practicing now. Or even non-reverts, somebody who just came onto the deen. He's able to tell you, this guy is a mubtadi' and the reason why he's an innovator is because of this and because of this and because of this. I came to know about certain mashayikh in Saudi Arabia because of reverts mentioning it to me. And maybe people who just started practicing mentioning it to me. He knows the issues of bid'ah and why the salaf wouldn't sit with the people and so on and so forth. But with the basics of it, he doesn't know. Yes, it's important knowing it, but there is what? Awlawiyat. So years go past, so he's able to tell you everybody who's misguided, but he doesn't know how to make wudu properly. Or how much the furud of wudu. And there's times when these guys called me and they started talking rubbish on the phone. I asked him one question. What is the furud of the wudu? What is the furud of the wudu? One time he said 14. Another time he said, no, it's 8. And then he goes on, no, it's... But you're asking me about so-and-so and why I might go to this masjid and why I might go to that masjid. He never ever called me again. But before that, they were prank calling me. With regards to hadith, what should a person memorize? Shaykh Salih bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Usaym, with regards to hadith, he says, فَحْفَظْ كِتَابَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ أَوَّلًا فَعُمْدَةً ثُمَّ الْبُلُوغَ كَمِّلًا ثُمَّ رِيَاضًا أَزْهَرَتْ لِلنَّوَوِي فَهَؤُلَا يَحِفْظُهَا يَبْنِ الْقَوِي. With regards to hadith, the Arba'in al-Nawi that we're currently studying now. Okay? You've memorized Arba'in al-Nawi, move on to Umdat al-Ahkam. You've memorized Umdat al-Ahkam, move on to Bulugh al-Maram. You've memorized Bulugh al-Maram, go on to Riyad al-Salihin. This will end up building a very strong student of knowledge, he says. وَبَعْدَهَا يُؤَهَلُ الطُّلَّابُ لِلْحِفْظِ فِي السِّتَّةِ إِذَا الصَّوَابُ مَعَ اتِّبَاعِ مَنْهَجِ الزَّوَائِدِ فِي ضَبْطِهَا التَّحْقِيقِ لِلْفَوَائِدِ. And then you move on to the Kutub al-Sitta, and then later on, the Zawa'id, and so on and so forth. Okay? Umdat al-Ahkam, Bulugh al-Maram, Riyad al-Salihin. Guys, do you feel like that this is not maybe something for you guys? Huh? Because I know some brothers, they may look a bit, I don't think that's for me, you know? Akhi, have high aspirations. Like I told you guys before, guys, there was drug dealers, guys who were addicted to drugs. Later on, they became Hufad Kitabillah. Anything is possible. Impossible should not exist in your dictionary. Believe that you can fly. Okay? And then he says, فَلْتَحْفَظُوا نَصِيحَةَ الْعُصَيْمِ فَإِنَّهَا السَّبِيلُ نَحْوَ الرَّيْمِ سَتُشْرَقُ الْأَيَّامُ بِالْحَقَائِقِ وَيَحْمَدُ الْخَذُولُ عَزْمَ السَّابِقِ. He says, memorize the nasiha of Usaymi. Because one day you will begin to realize what he mentioned. One day you will realize what he's mentioning. That this is the correct path of seeking knowledge. With regards to Bulugh al-Maram, as a benefit, Sheikh Salih al-Usaymi, I heard him one time say that he heard Abdul Aziz Sadhan say that he asked Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz 7 times of a comprehensive text to memorize. Each time he said Bulugh al-Maram. Each time he said Bulugh al-Maram. 7 times he was asked. He could have said Bukhari, he could have said Muslim. But he said Bulugh al-Maram. He said Bulugh al-Maram. And also Sheikh Salih al-Fawzani says, whoever memorized Bulugh al-Maram, and also Kitab called Zad al-Mustaqna, it's a matan, text in the Hanbali Madhab, this person is a faqih. This person is a faqih. Because if you want to become very strong in fiqh, it's highly advisable that you memorize a hadith while at the same time you memorize a kitab in a madhab. It'll give you the masail and at the same time you're strong with the textual evidences. And I asked many of the mashayikh, I remember asking Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Sheikh, what do you advise me to memorize after Bulugh al-Maram? Okay? He said, have you memorized the Quran? I said, yes. Have you memorized Umdat al-Ahkam? I said, no. He goes, go memorize Umdat al-Ahkam. Go memorize Umdat al-Ahkam. So again, this is the same thing that Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, he says. Memorize the Quran, then Umdat al-Ahkam, and then Bulugh al-Maram. Likewise, Sheikh Saleh Sindi, another teacher in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid, he says the exact same order. Quran, 40 al-Nawwi, Umdat al-Ahkam, and then Bulugh al-Maram. This is for those who have high aspirations and want to become a memorizing machine. Then Riyad al-Salihin, and you move on to the next step. Also remember asking Shaykh Abdul Salam al-Shuwayir what one should memorize after Bulugh al-Maram. He said if you want to basically do isti'ab, to gather all the ahkam of a hadith that talk about fiqh, go for the Kitab of al-Muntaqa. The Kitab al-Muntaqa. And this is asl al-ilm. You have to understand, guys, al-ilmu qala Allahu qala rasulu qala as-sahabatu la litamwihi mal ilmu nasbuka lil khilafi safatan bayna rasuli bayna ra'i faqihi. Real ilm is ayat and a hadith. And what the companion said, ilm is not getting the statement of a scholar and I'm putting it against a textual evidence. With all due respect to him, you will see, guys, if you ever go into da'wah or you're giving da'wah to another individual that might be a close relative of yours or very close to you, a friend or whatever, when you give him a textual evidence, how this individual feels, as opposed to giving him just kalam, empty speech, oh, you know, this sheikh, because he can bring his sheikhs as well. But you find that this really resonates in somebody's heart. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل رأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. The Quran will make you shake. And the person feels embarrassed to have anything opposing the Quran or in against the Quran. Are you with me, guys? And also when you go onto the minbar, what are you going to tell the people? You're going to talk rubbish to them? You have to be quoting Quran, a hadith, and putting it into proper context. This is real ilm. That everybody will, you find that either they're not going to have anything to say or they're going to accept from you because you're giving them pure ilm. You see? Also, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, كُلُّ الْعُلُومِ سِوَى الْقُرْآنِ مَشْغَلَةُ إِلَّا الْحَدِيثَ وَالْفِقْهَ فِي الدِّينِ. Every ilm other than the Qur'an is just something that's going to busy you, except hadith and getting an understanding in the religion. الْعِلْمُ مَا قَدْ كَانَ فِي حَدَّثَنَا وَمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ وَسْوَاسُ الشَّيَاطِينِ. The ilm is حَدَّثَنَا the hadith. And anything other than this is the whispers of the shaitan. Also, Imam Shafi, exactly what I was saying now. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he said, مَنْ نَظَرَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ قَوِيَتْ حُجَّتُهُ. Whoever now has a constant habit of looking into a hadith, you find that his hujjah, his plea will become very, very strong. His plea will become very, very strong. Also, remember Shaykh Abdul Karim al-Khudayr, one time when I was sitting in his class, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was just under the umbrellas. He said, مَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنَ النَّظَرِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ صَارَ لَهُ مَلَكَةٌ قَوِيَةٌ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Whoever is somebody who constantly looks at the hadith and his shuruhat, his explanations, he will end up having a very strong ability when it comes to knowledge. So now 10 points inshaAllah ta'ala. 10 points inshaAllah ta'ala. How long do I have? Huh? 3 minutes? 17 minutes? So Afwan, before that, I was speaking about the three important matters. Okay? The other important thing is that you have a habit of going back to the mashayikh and studying the knowledge from a particular shaykh. Somebody is also upon the correct methodology. Because you might come out of Nawaqid al-Islam and you're takfir happy, takfir excited. As this has been the case of many brothers who may be in prison at this moment in time. They open up Nawaqid al-Islam, kafir, 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 kafir. When it has a context, the scholars that I studied with Nawaqid al-Islam, they all had an introduction where they talked about the preventative factors of takfir. Preventative factors of a takfir. And it was a long muqaddimah. And I just took that when I told Nawaq al-Islam, you can find this on my YouTube channel as well. I went through a whole muqaddimah. Because I'm telling you now, if a person does not study Nawaqid al-Islam properly, he's going to be really takfir excited. Everyone's going to end up maybe becoming a kafir to him. He's going to think him and his 10 friends are going to be enter into al-Jannah, الَّذِي عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. The width and the length of the Jannah is what? Like the samawat and the ard, right? Him and his 10 friends are the only ones that are going to be going in there. Because of the takfir that he does. I remember, I think I read it in Sirah Alam al-Nubala. A takfiri was asked, there was two takfiris. One guy who made takfir of everybody. So his friend who was more smarter than him, he asked him, he goes, only me and you are going to enter into al-Jannah, and the Jannah is as big as the samawat and the ard. Only me and you are going to al-Jannah because everybody else is kafir. He was a khariji as well, but he was more smart. He asked him. Allah tells us in the Quran where he says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So this very big place in al-Jannah, only me and you are going to enter inside. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي ابْتَدَى. Also qira'atul kutub. Also qira'atul kutub. Someone needs to have a habit of constantly reading books. Are you with me, guys? You need to have a constant habit of reading books because ilm is found in there, and that's for a number of reasons. The first one is, when you read books, it helps you with your nahw. The Arabic grammar that you learned, it allows you now to be somebody who is grammatically correct. Because the last thing you want is when you're teaching a book later on, or you're reading to somebody, you're making so many grammar mistakes. So you read books yourself and you also read on the mashayikh. If you have somebody who knows his Arabic grammar properly, you read to him as well. So the 10 points now, inshallah ta'ala. Do you guys want a break? Huh? If you feel like you want to maybe stretch your hands, are you guys in a rush? Huh? Okay, I think that's why. So the 10 points very, very quickly, inshallah ta'ala. Before you read, قبل أن تقرأ اعرف ماذا تقرأ أو اعلم ماذا تقرأ. Before you start reading, know that which you are reading. Don't just rush and jump onto books. Because you might end up reading, مثلا, فتح الباري at the beginning stages of seeking knowledge. Fath al-Bari is the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book after the book of Allah. Or you start practicing, you know, and you think to yourself, oh, mashallah, the most authentic book after the book of Allah, let me go for it. He's reading a book that is completely outside his ability. Wadih? And take it easy. Shay'an fa shay'an. Take it easy. So you know what you're reading is, don't just jump into another one. This is why Yunus ibn Yazid, he said, قال لي الزهري إمام الزهري رحمه الله تعالى محمد بن شهاب الزهري هو from the تابعين. He said to him, لا تأخذ العلم جملة من أخذ العلم جملة ترك جملة. Don't try and rush to take knowledge all at once. Don't try and take it all at once. من أخذ العلم جملة ترك جملة. Whoever tries to take knowledge all at once, okay, he'll end up leaving it altogether. And I told you guys about the fitna in the Maj, right? The big fitna of lessons, where everybody was so excited, jumping here and there, one time he leaves it. I used to beg brothers, wallahi, memorize the Quran. This is the asal of your ilm. You need this more than anything. It will make tawheed, kitab al-tawheed, usul al-thalath, qawaid al-arba'ah. You're probably busy memorizing these ayat, right? If you already memorize the Quran, everything will just flow. And then the Maj ended up being destroyed. All those brothers who ended up leaving it till very late, came back to the likes of the UK and Canada and America. And that's when the box life starts. You get busy. Second point is, لا تقرأ إلا وأنت حاضر الذهن. Don't read except while you are attentive. Okay? Or even memorization. When you're memorizing, make sure your mind is there. Fully attentive. Concentrating. Not somebody who just came out of a war zone in his house and then he picks up a kitab and there's 101 things on his mind. If you want to memorize, you need to free your mind. Okay? And I'll give you a piece of advice. You guys want to memorize? Get rid of your phone at a time of memorization. كَرِهْتُ النَّتَّ حَتَّى ذِغْتُ نَتَّى وَأَسْبَابِي لِهَذَا الْكُرْهِ شَتَّى فَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ وَكَمْ يَطْوِي مِنَ السَّاعَاتِ وَقْتَى. The poet, he says, I began to dislike the internet until it made me feel so tight. And the reason why I dislike the internet is for a number of reasons. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ وَكَمْ يَطْوِي مِنَ السَّاعَاتِ وَقْتَى. And because also, it's a very deep ocean. And you find that it ends up wasting a lot of your time. On YouTube, on Instagram, you're just sliding, going down for hours. And before you know it, time is gone. Likewise, on the YouTube recommended channels, click on this one, oh, there's another video, and another one, and another one, and another one. That's what your phone does. I know a lot of sisters who message me, who may have kids, they say, oh, Ustaz, I don't have any time. You got 24 hours in your day. You can't find time even for 1 hour? Get rid of your phone, that's what I tell them. Weeks later, they message back, oh, wallahi, jazakallah khair, Ustaz, you know, I got rid of my phone and I memorized X, Y, and Z. There was a brother in Medina, I always used to advise, akhi, memorize. He goes, wallahi, it's really difficult. I advise him, get rid of your phone. A week later, he goes to me, guess what, Abu Taymiyyah? Guess what? I switched off my phone. In 1 hour, I memorized 3 pages. And before that, he couldn't do half. And this brother is one of those guys, as soon as I message him, he's online. He gets back to me. Someone who's addicted to his phone. Get rid of your phone, guys, if you really want to get that knowledge. The third point, Abbas, how long left? The third point is, احرص على أن تبدأ القراءة وأنا حريص على أن لا أو أنت حريص على أن لا يفوتك فائدة في هذا الكتاب إلا وقد التقطتها وقيدتها. Be eager when you are reading, guys, or when you're studying from a particular book. Have that eagerness of not wanting any benefit to pass to you. Except that you ended up picking it up just the same way you pick up what? Lost property. And that you've noted it down. You have to understand, guys, a kitab is like a basket of gems, pearls, and diamonds. When a thief comes in, breaks into somebody's house, and he finds the box, and he has money in there, he has gems in there, he has pearls in there, is he going to say, oh, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to leave that? He's going to take everything, right? He's going to take everything, and he's going to run with it. And that's the same way one should be with regards to the kitab that he's reading. There is gems and pearls in there. Don't allow these gems and pearls to get away, except that you've written it down. Where did you write it down? On the ghilaf of your book. Sorry guys, I think the... Okay, so the third point is, you write it down, try and get every single fa'idah out of it. Where do you write this? You write this on the ghilaf. You have a book, you know, on the cover, on the inside. Okay, on page kether wa kether, there was this benefit. On page kether wa kether, there was on this benefit. On the front, likewise, the back. I'm not talking about the front of the book, inside it. Okay, that's where you write it. Rabi'an, the fourth point is, istashib qalaman fi athna' al-qira'ah. Make sure you have a pen at the time of reading. And the fifth point is, احرص على استصحاب دفتر صغير لتسجل فيها أي فائدة تمر بك. Be somebody who's always carrying a pen and he's always carrying some scrap paper. When you're reading and outside when you're reading, when you're not reading. Are you with me, guys? A pen is a must. And I told you guys before as well, what made Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As have more ahadith than Abu Hurairah? Because Abu Hurairah mentioned this once, and Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he chapter bab al-kitabat al-ilm, the chapter of documenting, writing down knowledge. Abu Hurairah said, ما كان أحد أكثر حديثا من إلى ما كان من عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص. Why? فإنه كان يكتب ولا أكتب. Nobody knew more hadith than me except Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. Why? Because he used to write down and I never used to write down. This is before the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abu Hurairah. Are you with me, guys? Later on, Abu Hurairah became top of the charts when it came to knowing and memorizing a hadith. But he used to write down. He used to write it down. Even the poet, he says, العلم صيد والكتابة قيده. قيد صيودك بالحبائل الواثقة. علم is like what? A hunted animal. And the way you tie up the hunted animal, you got to write it down. That's how ilm is, you document it. And then he said, فَمِنَ الْحَمَاقَةِ From stupidity is that you take out time hunting an animal and then you leave it in the middle of everywhere for somebody to come and just take your hard work. And this is exactly with regards to ilm. Wallahi al-azim, the talib ilm will tell you. I remember hearing this from Sheikh Saleh Sindi. He said, the nadama, the regret that a person might go through when he really needed that fa'idah, but he didn't write it down upon hearing it. Sometimes you're in a car. You're in a car and you hear Sheikh bin Baz on the radio, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, Sheikh Abdul Karim al-Khudayr and other than them. You hear an amazing faida. If you don't have scrap paper, huh? That faida is going to run away. It's going to get away from you. Are you with me, guys? So you need to have a pen and also scrap paper. The poet, he says, لَابُدَّ لِطَالِبِ مِنْ كُنَاشٍ يَكْتُبِ فِي رَاكِ مِنْ أُمَاشٍ The talib, he must have scrap paper, he must have a pen. He writes whenever he's walking and also when he's riding. You're going to start carrying scrap paper when you're driving here. Huh? I'm asking you guys. In Saudi Arabia, you might be able to get away with it. We're not here. And I think I told you guys the other day, right? About when the last day before I left, when I wanted to go pray in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Masjid, because normally we don't get that chance to pray Fajr there. There was his brother who was coming from very far after, waited for ages and ages. He's coming, he was a talib ilm and he in fact stopped and decided to take me to the haram. The guy is carrying a Musnad of Imam Ahmad. A Musnad of Imam Ahmad. This guy's already memorized Bukhari and Muslim and everything, Kutub Sitta. He's now memorizing Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Every time he stopped at a red light, he would take out his pen and he would start writing down the notes and everything. That's a talib ilm haqqa. So Afan, the fifth point was that you need to be carrying, okay, a daftar. Be somebody who carries a daftar at all times, like a notepad. And anytime you find a fa'idah, make sure you write it down. Point number six is, أَيُّ فَائِدَةٍ تَمُرُّ بِكَ وَأَنْتَ تَقْرَأُ فِي الْكِتَابِ حَاوِلْ أَنْ تُقَيِّدَهَا عَلَى غِلَافِ الْكِتَابِ Here the Shaykh, even though I mentioned it before, he singled it out. But I just mentioned it because it was bil munasabah, because it was suitable to mention it. The sixth point, he singled it out. He said, any fa'idah that comes past you, make sure you write it down on the ghilaf of the kitab. This was point number six. Number seven, ihris ala dhammi nadhiri ila nadhiri. After you've written down, you've got a whole load of fawaid in different books. Okay? Try and get like benefits with one another. For example, today you read Usul al-Thalatha and you ended up getting a benefit with regards to the Qadr, mathalan. Later on you read another explanation, you've got another fa'idah there that speaks about the Qadr. Get these together. Get these together. And on point number eight, he says, إِن كُنْتَ حَرِيسًا عَلَى الْفَائِدَةِ الْمُثْلَى If you're somebody who wants maximum benefit, make sure you have different books, different exercise books, quite big ones, which you put all the benefits of aqidah, methylene in one book, all the benefits of fiqh in one book. And obviously now, because previously I mentioned, you need to get like benefits and put it together, right? Now you're going to put it all in your aqidah book. All the benefits of Qadr, you put it somewhere. All the benefits of the Asma, the names and attributes of Allah, you put it somewhere. All the benefits pertaining to the hereafter, you put it there, and so on and so forth. Point number eight, and this is very, very important. Sorry, nine. Point number nine. I'm rushing here, that's why. If you want this ilm, if you want this ilm to stay with you and to become solidified, okay, and you want to benefit from it, be somebody who is eager to do two things. Be eager to do two things. All these benefits that you've documented, make sure you are someone who revises it every now and again, like maybe weekly. All these benefits that you've gathered, weekly, try to revise, or maybe monthly, or maybe once a week, مثلاً. You have a jadwal. Every Monday I'm going to revise fiqh. Every Tuesday I'm going to revise aqeedah. Every Wednesday I'm going to revise mustalah al-hadith. And then maybe on Sunday, I'm going to revise just the general benefits that I documented. And then the second point is, be somebody who has a partner, sits with him and revises the knowledge. This is why some you find certain students of knowledge, just a random guy, he meets him, he goes, "Akhi, I want to tell you a fa'idah." He is doing that so he can solidify that fa'idah in his mind. Okay? And take this from me, guys. The best way to solidify knowledge in your mind is, and to keep it in there, is to have a zameel that you mention this fa'idah to. Even your wife sometimes, instead of just talking rubbish with her all day long, or you might not even have anything to talk about, tell her a fa'idah and try to make it interesting into like a role play. Imagine now we had this seller. He went into the shop and he done this. And then he said this with regards to the transaction. Would this be correct? What do you think, my darling? Huh? Things like that. And ilm, at all time you find that is, na'am, it becomes firm in your mind. Point number 10. Point number 10. تدوين الفوائد التي نراها على النت. Oh, this is one of my favorite ones. Documenting the benefits that you find on the internet. Like on WhatsApp, مثلا. And a shout out to the brother who made that group called Multaqa Duat. Just from that group, guys, when I check it sometimes, I've gathered maybe over 200 pages of benefits just from that one WhatsApp group. How do you get it? You star it. You guys know how to star messages now? Huh? Star the message. Then click on settings, then go to start messages. What you do is you transfer it to your email, you send it to yourself, then you put it on Word. There's a lot of fawaid that sometimes comes. And you think to yourself, subhanAllah, I was thinking about this. Well, of course, you need to go check it. Because there's also a whole lot of rubbish that gets spread on the internet. So you need to check it. So you have WhatsApp. Because it comes with benefits sometimes as well. And you also have Twitter, مثلاً. You might be following certain mashayikh, certain students of knowledge. He posts benefits from Ibn al-Qayyim, مثلاً. Okay? What you need to do is you need to... There's a right at the corner. You press something and then a pop-up comes up. Press add tweet to bookmarks. Add tweet to bookmarks. And then it takes you to your bookmarks. You have so many fawaid that you've maybe gathered over the years. And I will guarantee you guys, years that pass by, you will have documents and documents and documents of benefit. That's just from social media. That's just from social media. You might want to print it out and leave it somewhere. Okay. How long left? 4 minutes. Okay, I'm going to try and rush this, inshallah ta'ala. And after all of this, guys, you need two things. And I've spoken something similar about it in that video that's online called, I was asked a question when I went to Manchester, how can we memorize? I could have gone into techniques, but that which is more important is these two matters. Okay? You need to be somebody who has ijtihad, who works hard, okay? And you also need to be somebody who constantly begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim ibn Mas'ud, Abi Ishaq al-Ilbiri, alayhi rahmatullahi, has some lines of poetry where he says, وَسَلْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ التَّوْفِيقَ فِيهَا وَأَخْلِصْ فِي السُّؤَالِ إِذَا سَأَلْتَ. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him for tawfiq in the knowledge that you seek. And also be sincere in that which you ask. وَنَادِ إِذَا سَجَدْتَ لَوْ اِعْتِرَافًا بِمَا نَادَاهُ ذُنُّونِ ابْنُ مَتَّى. And when you call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be somebody who admits his sins. Be somebody who admits his sins. The same way Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was stuck in the stomach of the whale, he said, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, oh Allah, was from those who oppressed himself. Help me. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Here the fa, it indicates ayat ta'qib. There's a difference if there was a waw or a fa. Fa means it happened straight away. We responded back to him. And then the poet, he says, وَلَازِمْ بَابَهُ قَرْعًا عَسَاهُ سَيَفْتَحُ بَابَهُ لَكُ إِنْ قَرَأْتَ. Be somebody who keeps knocking that door. Because when you keep knocking on that door, it is expected that your request is going to be answered to. This is something that we really, really need, to constantly beg Allah Azza wa Jal. It could be one dua that you make and you can't memorize the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jal just opens the door for you and you can memorize 3 pages at once. And many of the scholars will tell you that. Go and read the stories of the Salaf, how difficult they found it. They say about Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr, and I've heard it more than once, and Allahu A'lam bi-sahdim, I'm going to mention it anyway. Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr is one of the most sought after mashayikh in al-Medina. They say he was from those who really found difficulty in studying. And now you go and listen to him, is one of the very few mashayikh that I could say every time I sit him, he touches my heart. Very eloquent, knowledgeable individual. I remember also, and I really don't like mentioning, but I'm going to mention it to you guys, because I keep feeling that maybe some of the brothers that are sitting here today, they just feel like, no, you know, I don't think I can. Wallahi al-azim, guys, I would sit from 19 to 20 hours to try and memorize one page of the Quran. One page. When I was in Yemen, in the place called Dar al-Masri, it was a Sufi camp before, obviously, I went to Damaj. 19 to 20 hours. Just trying to memorize that one page. Okay? I'd go to the teacher as if I didn't memorize anything. Absolutely nothing. Even he would be surprised. Like, this guy's been sitting, every time I go in the masjid, he's sitting there. Until, like, I became stressed out. It affected my health. To be sitting X amount of hours and not sleeping much can be a problem for somebody. And one thing they said to me is, go and pray at night and ask Allah Azza wa Jal. It's from the good advice that I was given. And wallahi al-azim, guys, before I knew, I could see myself memorizing 3 pages in maybe 45 minutes. And this is not because of my strength or my zakah, because I'm a very, very forgetful person. Until this very day, my dad switches at me. I sometimes forget to lock the door. I'm just like that. That doesn't mean you're going to come and rob my house now. But there's people who double, triple check. I'm just like that, and he gets really angry at me. But the point is, with a dua, anything is possible. And with a student of knowledge, impossible shouldn't exist. You've got to believe and it can happen. You're the most dumbest of people, you can become the most intelligent. This is why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, مَنْ اِجْتَهَدَ وَاسْتَعَانَ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلَازَمَ الْاِسْتِغْفَارِ. Whoever strives and also seeks assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal, and is somebody who constantly says, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Wal ijtihad, and also, فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ مَا لَمْ يَخْطُرْ بِبَالِ. It is a must that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him from his virtue and his grace that which even the mind can't imagine. Shaykh al-Islam used to do that. Sometimes he would do istighfar for 1,000 times if he couldn't understand something. And after that, he would be able to understand the issue that he was having difficulty with. Also, Shaykh Salih bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Uthaymeen said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْعِلْمَ بِقُوَّةِ حِفْظِكُمْ وَلَا بِجَوْدَةِ فَهْمِكُمْ. You're not going to attain knowledge with having superior memorization. وَلَا بِجَوْدَةِ فَهْمِكُمْ. And also not having efficient understanding. وَلَا بِكَثْرَةِ مُلَازَمَتِكُمْ. And also having or being somebody who constantly attends lessons. إِنَّمَا تُصِيبُونَ الْعِلْمَ بِصِدْقِكُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. You will only attain knowledge through being truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can be intelligent, you can have somebody who has a strong dhakira, strong memory, But you're not going to attain anything except if you're somebody who constantly asks Allah Azza wa Jalla and has that relationship with Him by being truthful in that which you are seeking. And al-ikhlas, we've spoken about it a number of times. And I've seen Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Badr, and perhaps he's doing this in that which we mentioned, seeking the aid of Allah. Every time he goes to the dars, I try to follow him one time. Every time he goes to the dars, he goes and drinks zamzam, and before he drinks it, he thinks. And we know, al-zamzamu lima shuriba lahu. For whatever you intended when drinking the zamzam, you're going to get that. And perhaps he's asking Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah knows best, to aid him and assist him in the lesson that he's about to deliver. I want to mention this to Shaykh Abdul Salam al-Shuwai'ir, who is one of the teachers in the Haram. And he said he's perhaps doing that because he's trying to seek an assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a teacher in the Haram. So how about any of us guys? And the second point is, okay, that you need to have a lot of ijtihad. And I've mentioned this time and time again. If you want knowledge, in the lines of poetry, بِقَدْرِ الْكَدِّ تُكْتَسِبُ الْمَعَالِ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعُلَى سَيْرِ اللَّيَالِ وَمَنْ رَامَ الْعُلَى مِنْ غَيْرِ كَدٍ أَضَاعُ الْعُمْرَ فِي طَلَبِ الْمُحَالِ تَغُوصُ الْبَحْرَ ثُمَّ تَرُومُ الْعِزَّةَ ثُمَّ تَنَامُ لَيْنِ غُوصُ الْبَحْرَ مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعَالِ. A summarization of what these lines of poetry is off. Huh? And a summarization in what these lines of poetry, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, is, if you really want to attain loftiness, you have to work hard. You have to have sleepless nights. You can't say, I want to attain loftiness, while at the same time you're sleeping at night. And then he gives an example of a person who's ready to dive into the sea and risk his life for gems and pearls. Are you with me, guys? To risk his life for gems and pearls. Are we ready to do the same when it comes to knowledge? And I mentioned it before as well. Okay, in Damaj, I knew guys who were saying, even though the Houthis were trying to kill everybody there, and they were throwing bombs at the markaz, they're saying, no, we're not going back until we find knowledge. Ilm does not come with the relaxation of the body, as Yahya ibn Abi Kathir said. Sheikh Sulaiman, one time I heard him say, Ruhayli, in the Haram, he said, Ilm thaqil. Ilm is very heavy. وَلَا يَصْبِرُ إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ. And those who are patient are only a few. وَلَا يَصِيرُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِلَّا أَقَلَّ الْقَلِيلِ. And those who become scholars are only a few, a minority within a minority. Are you with me, guys? So you have to strive, you have to have sleepless nights, and be somebody, قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ in your sujood, who begs Allah Azza wa Jal. Be even somebody who asked Allah Azza to make him like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. وَمَا كَانُ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْضُورًا. The giving of your Lord is not restricted. Anything is possible, guys. Anything is possible. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.